And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be discussing a topic that is vitally important to your future, to my future, to America's and the world's. You know, the United States has been called the only remaining superpower. We have thousands and thousands of nuclear bombs and missiles in our strategic arsenal. We have military troops stationed in over 130 nations around the globe. We're conducting wars nonstop in the Middle East and elsewhere. We've already lost 4,500 young men and women in the Iraqi war, and it continues on interminably. And now we're threatening another war with Iran and Syria. We're fighting brush wars down in Colombia and other South American nations. We're threatening Mr. Chavez down in Venezuela, the president down there. We're the most warlike, bellicose nation on this planet. And we're in the midst of a presidential election, and the question is, will a new Caesar arise to continue this hideous warlike system, the imperial United States? Now, the two candidates, it seems, will be Obama, Senator Barack Obama from Illinois, and Senator John McCain from Arizona. But it seems that Barack Obama's main competition, Senator Clinton, fighting him for the bid in the for the nomination in the primaries, has suggested that even though she has lost the vote of the number of delegates, she wants to stay in the race a little while longer because, after all, Barack Obama could be assassinated. That's basically what she said twice recently. Once she was quoted in Time magazine, and to make sure it was not just a mistake, something that was said in the heat of the battle or because you get tired of the long campaign, she said it again. I'm staying here because look what happened in 1968. Robert Kennedy was running for president. He had just won a big primary in California in June, and it looked like he was going to take the whole stakes, and suddenly, bam, he's dead. Shot in the head. Gone. She was suggesting, of course, that could happen to Barack Obama, so why should I drop out? He might be dead. Now, some people, again, say, well, just stupidity on her part. My friends, there's not very much the Clintons do that are stupid. Bill and Hillary do a lot of things that are evil and wicked and calculating, but not too much that's just outright stupid. Of course, anyone who's that wicked and calculating is not very wise according to the Bible, but we're talking about according to men's prescriptions. And in that case, she is fairly intelligent, as is her husband, Bill. Besides that, they have a league of advisors who are the most wicked and calculating on this planet, including their Zionist overlords behind them. I want to ask you a question. Will Barack Obama be assassinated? That's going to be the topic we'll be discussing today as we look at Senator Obama. Now, I looked at Senator McCain a few weeks back, and seems like most of you agreed with what I said about Senator McCain. Oh, there were a few doubters, a few people who, no matter who the Republicans put forth, are going to vote for him. I mean, they could put Mickey Mouse or, you know, resurrect Mickey Mantle, a New York baseballer from the grave, and they'd vote for the guy no matter what because he's a Republican. It's all we've got. I'm going to have to hold my nose and vote for McCain. I don't want to. He's a no-good liberal, but I'll have to do it anyway because I don't want to vote for Obama. Yeah, well, I'm not going to hold my nose and vote for anybody, but I do understand the sentiment. We always seem to be stuck with the lesser of two evils, but they're still evil in both cases, so why vote for either one? But will Barack Obama even be here on the second Tuesday in November of this year? Will you even have the opportunity to vote for the man? Or is he slated to be killed? Now you may say, well, Tex, this is something we shouldn't even be debating because maybe you're putting the idea in somebody's mind. The idea is already out there. Everybody's talking about it. It's in all the news media. Hillary Rodham Clinton running for president said it, and she's been on ABC, CBS, NBC. It's out there rolling around, my friends. It's going down the freeway at 150 miles an hour. There's nothing I can say to speed it up or slow it down. In fact, I'm going to tell you today what I believe should be done. I don't care what you think about Barack Obama, whether you favor him or not. I don't want the man to be harmed. I've always believed, dear friends, it's much better to pray for a person's salvation and even protection by Jesus Christ our Lord than to wish the darkness overfall them or to wish a harm come to them. So I'm going to assist this situation today by pleading with you to pray for Barack Obama. And I pray for him regularly. You may say, why do you pray for an evil man? Well, I pray for an evil man to see the light, to be a good man. You say, that's not possible. It can't happen. Well, the history of the world is wicked people who have been changed through the gospel, through truth. Don't tell me it can't be changed. I wasn't exactly lily pure and white clean, you know, when I came to know Jesus. Why should I be throwing rocks and stones at people? I tell the truth about them, but I still hold out the hope that God is more powerful than men's minds and hearts, and he can change things. If we believe that God doesn't have the power to change people, then goodness sake, let's just worship the devil. Now notice I didn't say let's worship the devil. I said, if you don't believe that God is more powerful than Satan, then worship Satan. But as for Tex Mars, and I assume you, and that's why you're a good friend of this ministry and you're listening to me, you would agree with me, the devil is a pitiful loser of a creature, and he has no hope. that's the way it goes. You say, well, he sure seems to have been doing a lot here on earth. He seems to be quite successful. Well, now, friends, you just don't know how things line up. I've always been a sports fan. I like football. I like boxing. And some of my most favorite bouts have come when a boxer is way behind in points. And then perhaps in the final moments of the fight, he lands a knockout blow and his opponent is flat on his back. What a victory. Just when everybody thinks everything is lost. It happens in football, too. I've seen my favorite teams behind two or three touchdowns going into the last quarter. Everybody says, oh, it's over. They can't come back. That's the end of it. Oh, shut up. I like my sister Joyce. She's quite a character. I wish every one of you could meet her. We'd be sitting around. We'd watch a game, you know, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys or somebody, and they'd be way behind about 30 points, 20 points in the last quarter, and I'd be over there, you know, I'd be all morose and all depressed. Oh, they're going to lose. My sister Joyce would smile, pick up her cup of coffee. She'd say, they're not going to lose. We got them right where we want them. And, you know, it just seemed like, now I don't believe in mind powers exactly, but it did seem like a lot of times the Cowboys would come back and win. Well, you know, God is sort of like that. He's a contrarian. Whatever you and I think, sometimes he just does contrary to it. Totally shocks everybody. He chooses people I would not choose, you would not choose, for momentous missions. He chooses the weak to confound the strong. He chooses, well, what would some people think are ignorant people, and they overcome the wise men of this world. I look at Power of Prophecy Ministries. I am just amazed how we've been able to be here for 21 years now telling the truth. Most other people are too. They think we should be closed down a long time ago and Tex Mars should be in prison for telling the truth. Well, yeah, according to the world, I don't have a chance. But according to God, I'm doing just fine. It's the last quarter and I'm winning. People say, but you're behind. Look at all the forces opposed to you. Oh, well, you don't understand. I've got a plan. I've got a master plan. It's revealed in Bible prophecy in the scriptures, and I know exactly what I'm going to be doing, and everything is going according to my plan. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says something very interesting. It says in the book of Isaiah, he who digs a pit shall fall into it. The Illuminati are digging a pit for your soul. They are digging a pit for you to fall in. And amazingly, the darkness comes and they fall in it themselves and they're taken captive. A snare comes upon the whole world in the last days. And Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, and Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that because they received not the truth by which they might be saved in the last days, God, now did you get that? God, not the devil, not Satan, not the Illuminati, not the elite, but God, not the liberals, not the Democrats or the Republicans, God sends a strong delusion. Men are blinded by God. Oh, he sent the light at first, but they would not. So he sends them, okay, I'll send you the darkness. I'll send you a delusion. And they're deluded. They believe a strong lie, a delusion. Well, let's get back to the case at hand. Will Barack Obama be assassinated? Now, I want to tell you, this was not the first time I heard these little snidbits, I call them, you know, which is sort of a combination between being snide and giving us a tidbit of information. I just call them snidbits. Well, the first time I heard this actually was back in April. Listen to this, dear friends. There's a pro-Israel Jewish website called YNetNews.com. YNetNews.com had a story, and it was entitled Israeli Designs Who Killed Barack Obama T-shirts. That's right. From New York City, a well-known designer named Daron Braunstein, an Israeli fashion designer, owner of the Apollo Brown fashion boutique in New York, decided to start offering his own line of T-shirts. He created a logo which bore the words, Who Killed Obama? Not who's going to kill, but who killed him, as if it were already a done deal. You know, many science fiction writers have some kind of a genius behind them. I don't know what exactly. Sometimes it's a demented genius. But many of them tell the truth in advance in their books. Even the Bible says before an earthquake there are tremors, there are signs. Jesus said before the events of the last days there would be birth pangs. Just as a woman delivers a child, these birth pains start coming first. You know she's in labor. You know the baby's going to come because of these birth pains. These things are happening. Now, according to this, this Israeli fashion designer shook up New York City with his T-shirts and hoods, or hoodies they call them, bearing a controversial message. Who killed Obama? Evidently, they were big sellers, especially among Jewish women who thought they were very trendy. You know, sort of the Sex and the City crowd. They loved wearing these T-shirts. And it caught on with New York's youth. It caught fire, this article says. And it's become a fashion phenomenon all throughout the United States. I haven't seen them myself, but it makes me wonder about it. Wow. It's been on the internet, evidently. Now, who killed Obama? T-shirts sold by an Israeli fashion designers. Catching fire, selling thousands and thousands. And then Mike Huckabee, who certainly has sold out to the Zionist crew, who ran for the Republican nomination but lost to McCain, gave a speech recently in which he made a joke about Barack Obama being assassinated. Really? Was it just a joke? Now we have Hillary come up twice in a row and suggest that she's staying in the race because anything could happen. Why, look at what happened to Robert Kennedy. Now, friends, you know we did a CD audio tape, investigative expose, of the murder, and notice I said murder, of John F. Kennedy Jr. that happened just a few years ago at Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts when his airplane crashed, killing himself, John F. Kennedy Jr., that is, and his wife and her sister. Their body was quickly cremated after the bodies in the wreckage were found, which was a strange thing because, you see, the National Park Service, by federal law, had dedicated 2.5 acres at Arlington National Cemetery for the Kennedy family to be laid to rest. There is John F. Kennedy, President of the United States, assassinated in November of 63, and there lays today Jackie Kennedy beside him, and there was space set aside for their children, Caroline, John F. Kennedy Jr. But here John F. Kennedy Jr. dies in this airplane crash. He was the pilot. It was a bomb that went off. Everybody knows that. It's been a big cover-up. But because they didn't want the coroner to go over his body and find, no doubt, the evidence of the bomb-making material, he was cremated. And the ashes dumped off there in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean. What was that all about? And so the plot of ground next to his father and mother at Arlington National Cemetery lays vacant to this day. It just so happened that it was revealed after his murder that John F. Kennedy Jr. intended to run for the office of United States Senator from New York, the exact office that Hillary Rodham Clinton sought and won. There was no way she, a foreigner, let's just say, from Illinois and then Arkansas, could have beaten a hometown boy, a New Yorker, a Kennedy. He was murdered. And it paved the way for Hillary Rodham Clinton to be senator and now to run for president of the United States. And now let's fast forward to today, 2008, where she's in a fast race here with Barack Obama. And guess who endorses Barack Obama? The Kennedy clan. Ted Kennedy. Well, he's been working side by side with Hillary all these years in the U.S. Senate. And even when she was in the White House, he worked side by side with Bill and Hillary Clinton to get the liberal agenda passed. Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts. Now the man comes out and endorses Obama, makes speeches for him. But that's not all. Caroline Kennedy comes forth. She's an adult, of course, now involved in politics, and she endorses him. But that's not all. Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California, his wife, Maria Shriver, who is another one of the Kennedy clan, she comes out, even though her husband supposedly is Republican, and she endorses liberal Democrat Obama for president. And all of them go on stage together, along with Oprah Winfrey in California, all the whole caboodle of them. I forgot the kit and the caboodle, I guess they call it, endorsing Obama on national TV. The Kennedys. They didn't want the Clintons. Isn't that strange? Well, if someone had killed your relative, your brother maybe, your son, maybe you wouldn't want them in office. Maybe there's nothing you could do to stop them there, but hey, now suddenly comes the opportunity to put them in their place. Now, what audacity of Hillary Rodham Clinton, who benefited from the death of John F. Kennedy Jr. What audacity for her to suggest she should stay in the race, even though she's too far behind mathematically in the delegate count to ever win, just in case something happens to Obama. Will Barack Obama be assassinated? The Jews are selling T-shirts. Hillary Clinton has suggested, will it happen to his brother? It can happen again. Do the Jews want him dead? Well, since the Jewish neocons are now in charge of America, basically, but when I say in charge, they are not totally in rulership over all of us. If they were, then you would not be hearing my voice today. There is still a vestige of hope. There is a window of opportunity for us to tell the truth today. Now I want to look at Barack Obama and see exactly what's happening here. And I want to propose to you that the elite have decided they cannot let this man take the Oval Office. The elite, the Illuminati, especially the Zionist element in it, have determined they cannot let Senator Barack Obama exercise the awesome powers of the American president. It just won't do. Now, they've tried all kind of smear tactics against the man, and some of them were justified. The Dr. Jeremiah Wright incident and some of those. I understand that. I call that sort of the Tonya Harding treatment that the guy's got. You know, they bust his knees. But he seems to recoup quite quickly, seems to be the bionic man. He jumps up off the floor with his busted knees and keeps on a ticking. And I believe he surprised him. You see, Hillary was supposed to win. She's entitled to it. She and Bill are supposed to be getting back in the White House. And the Zionist masters over us won't either Hillary Clinton or John McCain. And there's no difference between the two. Not a dime's worth of difference between John McCain and Hillary Rodham Clinton. They're both suck-ups to the Jews who run this universe, and especially over in Israel. Hillary Rodham Clinton, believe it or not, had a Jewish grandmother. That makes her a Jew. And John McCain, his whole family have been kissing the boots of the Israeli slave masters for decades. His father, Admiral John McCain, is the one that sold us out in the USS Liberty ship incident. Won't get into that, but I wish I had more time on that. But I want you to understand, John McCain will do whatever his masters in Israel and among the neocon billionaire Zionist Jews in America say. He's a toady. He's a slave. He's on the plantation. He says Massa when they call. But they want all of us under his tutelage. They want to put a whip in his hands and let him whip America down into third world status. And the same thing goes with Hillary Rodham Clinton. And it was all foreordained, and then they made a mistake. They decided to take a black man to make it look good named Barack Obama and make him a little bit of a star, put him in the primaries, and he was going to be second. Another Jesse Jackson. Another Alan Keyes. But he wasn't really supposed to win. He's supposed to make it look good. And then they could tell all the black Americans, see what a wonderful country this is, why we gave you a liberal candidate, why he did so well. He ran second. Now, here's their problem. Here's the problem of the Zionists who rule America. They control most of America, but not all of it. For example, they own all the voting machine companies that make and manage the voting machines. Now, have you noticed that in every state, virtually every state, where there were voting machines, Hillary won. Sometimes hands down. But in every state where the people went to the meetings, to the meeting halls themselves and had caucuses, Barack Obama won. Now, Texas was a very unique state. You see, they had the primary elections for president here in Texas. The Democrats went to the voting machines. But that night, starting about 6 p.m., then they went to caucuses in their local counties and voted again. And they gave some of the votes to the candidate who won the voting machines. And they gave some of the delegates to the candidate who won the caucuses. But they thought it'd be the same person. But it would look so good to have, because there's been so much criticism of crooked, corrupt voting machines. So they said, well, we'll have caucuses too, to show people the same candidate will win. Well, amazingly, Hillary Rodham Clinton won in the voting machines. But that night, the same people that had voted with the voting machines went to their local county places, to the caucuses, and guess who won? Barack Obama. Every state with a man, it doesn't matter if all the people there are black or white, he wins anyway. Oregon, all just name all the states. Anywhere there's caucuses, Obama wins. Going away, nobody wants Hillary Rodham Clinton. Don't believe the polls. Baloney. Nobody wants her. We were going to get her anyway, either her or McCain. But every time they had a caucus, Obama won. And believe it or not, even won in a white state to start it all off, Iowa. What a shock to him. Why did he win Iowa? Because the very next state was another white state. The most of the people were white, New Hampshire, and Hillary won. It's simple. Iowa had caucuses where real live people voted. New Hampshire had voting machines where corrupt politicians programmed them for Hillary to win. That's the way it goes. So Obama has won, and Hillary's out there saying, what happened? Is there any way you can kill this man and get him off my back? Now, let's look a little bit at some things that are going on. Now, I'm going to save it for another time to talk about Obama's politics, although we'll get into a little bit of that today. Now, I want you to understand something. Obama is an international socialist. An international socialist. He does not put America first. He does not put America first. His mother, of course, was a commie pinko. No good. And she had him out of wedlock. He admits in his biography, he still doesn't know to this day whether his father was married to someone else before he married his mother. And then they were only together a few short months, and he ran off to Kenya to be involved in some revolution in that country. That was Obama's black father. Then his mother, being one of these new age hippie types, runs off to Indonesia and marries up with an Indonesian Muslim guy. And poor old little Obama ends up living in Indonesia without any friends except young Indonesian boys going to a Muslim school. Don't blame it on him. His new age hippie mother, she's out there having sex out of wedlock with Indonesians and blacks from Kenya and anybody she can lay hold of. Obama's the result. Don't blame him. When we come back in a minute, we're going to talk more about Barack Hussein Obama, who he really is, international socialist. But don't get me wrong. You'll also find out who John McCain and Hillary Rodham Clinton are. And then we'll find out why the Jews want to kill him. Why they're determined that Barack Obama cannot be president unless he gets on his knees, kisses their boots, and yells out, Massa. I'll be right back. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. Triple murder at Martha's Vineyard. Audio tape expose, 60 minutes. We have an available CD or audio tape. $8. Please add $4 shipping and handling. I want you to have a copy of this. You have to understand the Clinton White House, in collusion with the infamous Israeli Mossad intelligence agency, not only plotted and carried out the murder of Vince Foster, Commerce Secretary Ron Brown, Arkansas political figure Jim McDougal, and others. All of these people were hit victims of the Clinton Mafia Goon Squad, but so was John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife, and her sister. They call it the Clinton body count, and it continues to grow. The question is, with the help of the notorious, murderous Mossad intelligence agency of Israel, will Barack Obama be the next victim? My hope is that we can pray that God will intervene to save this man's life. More than that, by letting as many people know that he's in jeopardy as we can, again, we might prevent his being killed. Because we need to tell everybody we know that if he does die, we, that is Tex Mars and everybody listening to me out there, we are going to point the finger of blame exactly where it deserves. And we're going to expose these people. We're not going to let them get away with killing another president or presidential nominee. It's not going to happen. So let's put them on warning right now. Let's just say, hey, not on our watch. You're not going to kill this man. That doesn't matter whether or not you agree with Obama, whether you like the man, whether you like his politics. I personally do not. But I want to tell you something. I'm sick and tired of the Israeli Mossad and secret rogue CIA agents collaborating along with French, British, and other intelligence services to kill our politicians. Let the American people choose whomsoever they will. But forget about the corrupt voting machines and forget about the bullet to the head by these henchmen of evil. I think it's time we put a stop to it and said, we're not going to let you kill our politicians. You've already killed John F. Kennedy. You've already smeared Richard Nixon. And you've done terrible things to other American presidents and politicians. But no, we've had enough. We're sick and tired of the Jews running America. I'm not talking about the everyday Jew out on the street. I'm not talking about Jews who live in peace beside us. God bless them. I'm talking about the Zionist monsters, the neocons who are behind the Middle East mess, who are behind the oppression and murder of tens of thousands, millions of Palestinians and Lebanese. They're behind the fictitious war in Iraq, the fictitious war in Afghanistan, and they are responsible for the 9/11 atrocities. That's right. Don't think it was 19 Arab uneducated idiots that did that. It was the Israeli Mossad and the CIA working side by side. I'm telling you right now, you know that. We've exposed that on this radio program. Now, I want you to get this tape. Triple murder at Martha's Vineyard. I explain exactly how they carried it out. A lot of people say, Tex, where do you get your information? How are you able to discover all of this? Well, God is a mighty miracle worker. He puts information in my path, and I report it. And it's true. And it can't be debated. Now, if something is speculation, I tell you. This is what I think. This is what I believe based on my analysis. But there's some things I know to be true. And one, of course, is the murder of not only Vince Foster, not only Jim McDougal, not only Ron Brown, not only John F. Kennedy Jr., but if we don't stop it, Barack Obama. He appears right now to be the candidate who will probably take the Oval Office. People are so sick of George W. Bush. America is having a financial nightmare now. The price of gasoline is triple since Bush took over. We're approaching 5,000 dead in the Iraq War, a war that was fought for nothing but oil in Israel. People are sick of it. People are sick of food shortages. Gasoline prices going to the moon. They're sick of war. They're sick of a moron in office. So they don't want a 70-something-year-old moron to replace the, 50-year-old one we got. They're going to vote for Barack Obama. And even the Illuminati are shocked about it. And they're rounding up the wagons now to see if they can't have some damage control. But the first thing you need to do is find out who they have killed before. Now, we can go back in the Princess Diana thing, and I've explained how they murdered Princess Diana as well. She was engaged to a Muslim, a rich Muslim. They say she was pregnant from his child. They couldn't have a member of the royal family marry a Muslim, a foreigner, and they killed her too. No doubt the British Secret Service and the Mossad worked hand in glove, just as happened 9/11 with the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency and the Israeli Mossad. And now Barack Obama is in their gun sight. And I want you to tell everybody, if Barack Obama is killed, it will not be some lone nut. It will not be a Lee Harvey Oswald. It will be the Israeli Mossad working with behind the scenes rogue criminal elements of the Central Intelligence Agency and even the FBI. Not all the FBI, not all the CIA, but there is a small element. Rogues, criminals. So we'll know who did it. Pray for Barack Obama and expose these devils that are out to kill him. But first, educate yourself. Find out how they killed John F. Kennedy Jr. He was a very handsome man, very personable, photogenic. He was going to win New York State hands down and totally shell, put on the shelf, Hillary's vaunted political career. She had everything mapped out, and then suddenly John Kennedy wants to run for president. How did they know about it? Well, John Kennedy went up to Canada and talked to the Bronfmans. He wanted their financial support, the rich Jewish Bronfman family. The next thing you know, he is dead. Ah, yes. They've always hated the Kennedys. The Jews have. Triple murder at Martha's Vineyard. $12 CD or audio tape. Specify which one you want. You'll have the facts. You'll have the specifics. And you'll have the understanding of why the Clinton Mafia, with the help of the Israeli Mossad, shot down. Actually, they exploded. They didn't shoot it down. It was bombed. They had a bomb go off in the aircraft as it flew over the bay there. Martha's Vineyard. Okay, here's how to get it. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can just send $12 and say, text, send me the CD or the tape, the audio tape. Triple murder at Martha's Vineyard. Our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. We're asking the question, will Barack Obama be assassinated? Why the elite cannot let this man exercise the awesome powers of the presidency? You know, we look back in history, we have seen what happens when presidents or presidential candidates come up against the Zionist forces. The Zionist forces have played with their little intrigue and their criminal games, their criminal syndicate ways for many decades, even the last 200 years in the United States. You remember Ulysses S. Grant? He's the general who won for the North the American Civil War. Now, he was so popular that after the Civil War was over, he ran for president and was elected. But he had made one fatal mistake as far as the Jews are concerned. When he was general, he saw something going on. Here he was in charge of all the Union troops, but he noticed that at every encampment, at every military site or base, there were these Jewish peddlers coming in and cheating the young soldiers. Cheating them. Selling them junk merchandise. Ripping them off, giving them loans at exorbitant interest. He called them the Jewish peddlers, Jewish merchants. They seemed to delight, Mr. Grant found, General Grant discovered, in stealing from the young Gentile soldiers. So he put out an order to all of his military commanders that they would not allow these Jewish merchants, these crooks, these criminals, to get near the troops. He prohibited the Jewish merchants from cheating the GIs. Guess what the Jews did in America? They got a delegation together and they went to see President Abraham Lincoln and they said, General Grant won't let us sell to the troops anymore. Well, President Lincoln was trying to get the help of everybody he could and he wanted the support of the Jews, so guess what he did? he wrote a letter to the military countermanding, in other words, rescinding Grant's order. The Jews never forgave General Ulysses S. Grant. They wanted to cheat people and take the money of the Gentiles. He wouldn't let them. And when he became president, suddenly scandals began to occur. The Teapot Dome scandal and other scandals. Guess what? They involved oil. Even though we were at a very early stage, we didn't have automobiles, aircraft, still had to do with oil. The Teapot Dome scandal, it was called. Ulysses S. Grant, they said, well, he wasn't personally involved, but he was incompetent. And he was pushed out of office in disgrace. Then we get to President Truman. Here's a man who did everything for them, even making Israel a nation in 1948. He did everything for them. The problem is that Truman finally got tired of kissing their boots, the Jews in America. And he wrote in his diary, and this recently came out, that the Jews don't care for anybody but themselves. They prattle on about the Holocaust, but they don't care about all the other races and ethnic groups that were slaughtered in World War II. They don't give a fig for them. And I'm paraphrasing Truman, but that's what he said. And they care not for the underdog. And he says, put the Jews in power and they will rule over everybody like tyrants. Now, Truman told the Jews there were certain things they couldn't have. For example, the Jews were behind Stalin, the communist. And Truman says, you can't have South Korea. The Jews and the communists were infuriated. Remember, Lenin was a communist. Remember, Stalin, his number two man, Kaganovich, was a Jew. All of these people were Jews. Lenin, Trotsky, Kaganovich. Then the Jewish communists in Russia wanted to take over Greece. And Truman put out a resolution called the Truman Doctrine, in which he said, no, you communists will not be able to get a foothold in the nation of Greece. So Truman then was hated by the Jews, even though he was the greatest president for their interests that had ever taken the office. And he was told by Morgenthau and Bernard Baruch that he was not going to win the next time he ran. He had barely won a narrow margin over Dewey the first time he ran for president. So he was slated to be a one-term president. Of course, he also had the unfinished term that he had filled out of Roosevelt when he had died. But he was told by the Jews, Truman, that he would not be favored any longer because he went against their wishes. Truman retired, and he was not made a multimillionaire like other presidents had been or would in the future. He was forced to go back to his little home, his modest home in Independence, Missouri, where he lived out the rest of his life with his wife. Isn't that interesting? The man lived out a modest existence, a modest life. Eisenhower was also a favored child of the Jews, but he also went against their interest. You see, while he was president, Israel schemed to take more land from the Arabs. And in 1957, the Israelis carried out an unprovoked attack against Egypt. They grabbed the Gaza Strip. They grabbed the Sinai. They were helped by the French and the British. So Israel, in unprovoked aggression, grabbed all this land. They thought that Eisenhower, old Ike, would just sit in the White House and do nothing about it. Instead, he immediately went on national television and threatened the Jews in Israel. Get out! We Americans will not allow this aggression by Israel, and I demand that all of your troops leave Egyptian territory immediately. They had intended to annex all this new territory in their quest, their desire to build up a greater Israel empire in the Middle East. Eisenhower said, I'm not going to allow it. They hated him. Eisenhower also knew that the Jews, Israel, had stolen the plans for nuclear bombs. That's how they got their nuclear weapons. They had helped Mao Zedong, their little boy wonder. The Jews had helped him to come to power in communist China. And he immediately threatened Taiwan. His next door neighbor, where Chiang Kai-shek, the national Chinese leader, had fled in refuge. China started sending missiles over to Taiwan and threatening Taiwan. Eisenhower made a speech and told China, if you attack Taiwan, we will use our nuclear bombs and destroy you. In Korea, he went and told the North Koreans and the Chinese communists, if you don't make peace with us, I will use our nuclear weapons and destroy you. They made peace real quick. The Jews, and being communists, hated Eisenhower then. Now, in his farewell speech, and friends, this is a classic, he warned America of the unwarranted influence of the military-industrial complex. Now, that's just a euphemism. What he meant was, yes, the huge defense contractors, but also the Jews that want to take America into becoming an imperial power and rule the world through their American proxies. He said, we as Americans in the future must watch out. We must not allow the unwarranted influence of the military-industrial complex to succeed. Can you believe that? In a farewell address, he said, I warn the American people, watch out. Now we fast forward again to 2008. What are we involved in now? The military-industrial complex. We're building up our military weapons as never before with missiles and bombs and new aircraft and new ships. And we're threatening countries around the world. And behind it all are the Jewish neocons in the Pentagon. And the Israeli Mossad. Then we get to Richard Nixon. Ah, yes. Richard Nixon. Here's a classic man. He was placed in office due to the beneficent influence, let's just call it, of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. But once he was in, he got sick of them. And he said, I'm not going to do their bidding anymore. I'm the president. And he determined that in his second term as president, he would do them in. He made up an enemies list. And he determined that he would obtain from the National Archives the truth of many historical events, such as Pearl Harbor, such as what really happened with the John F. Kennedy assassination. An event, a horrible murder of Kennedy that had been carried out by the Israeli Mossad. With the help of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI, and the CIA under Israeli influence. Nixon was going to blow the whistle on all of them. He brought with him two, they call them the Prussian Guard, Ehrlichman and Haldeman, his associates. He did make one fatal error. He called Billy Graham to the White House, his spiritual advisor. And President Nixon told Billy Graham about the Jews. And Billy Graham seemed to understand. In fact, Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, says, yes, many of the Jews are satanic. They have turned America into a moral cesspool. They run the porno and evil Hollywood. And if you get to be president a second term, Mr. President Nixon, maybe you can do something about these evil satanic Jews. Nixon said, yes, I will. When I'm reelected, I will do something. Nixon intended to put America first and Israel second. He intended to make sure that 2% of the people, the Jews, just 2% of America's population, would not run roughshod over the other 98%. That was what he intended to do. But Billy Graham, being a rat and a traitor to American interest, ran right back and reported everything Nixon had said to his Jewish masters. Because Billy Graham had all the time worked for the Jews. In fact,
he later admitted, later in his life, on the Larry King TV show on CNN, that for almost all his adult life, every morning he reported in to a Jewish rabbi in New York City. That's right. Billy Graham said, "My mentor, my spiritual leader is a Jewish rabbi in New York City, and every day I call him and speak to him on the phone, ask him for advice, what to do that day." No doubt President Nixon was betrayed by a man who was his spiritual advisor, Billy Graham. What happened to Nixon? Everything hit the fan, my dear friends. The Watergate affair, his tax returns, campaign funds, the plumber's unit. He couldn't use the CIA to go around and do things. He had to set up his own spy unit. They call them the plumbers. Why? Why couldn't he use the CIA? Here's why. Because the CIA was owned by Israel. In fact, did you know that President Nixon, according to the Nixon tapes, these tapes have been released by the Nixon Library out in California. Nixon, our president, is heard telling his two top aides, Ehrlichman and Haldeman, how can we break into, get a safecracker and go break into the National Archives in the dead of night and take out documents? I want to tell the American people the truth. How can we break into the National Archives and get out the documents? Do you understand that, friends? The chief executive of the United States, a man voted into office supposedly by the citizens of this country, had to use safe crackers to break into a safe to find out what these classified documents. Well, he knew what they had to say, but he wanted to have a big press conference and tell everybody what really happened with John F. Kennedy's assassination. Who did it? Who's responsible for World War II? Who's really responsible for the Korean War? Who's responsible for Lenin and Trotsky coming to power in communist Russia, Mao Zedong in China? He was going to spill the beans, as we used to say down in East Texas. But then comes the Jewish media, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the CIA. And he was smeared. Not that he was a saint, but they kicked him out of office. They told him they would impeach him, and he left the office of the presidency in disgrace. Maybe he was lucky in that sense, because John F. Kennedy, very clearly, you can read about it in the book Final Judgment that we offer by Michael Collins Piper. John F. Kennedy ordered the Prime Minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, to get rid of his nuclear bombs. Even Jimmy Carter recently admitted that during his tour of office, Israel had over 150 nuclear bombs. And he says, for peace's sake in the Middle East, Israel needs to give up those nuclear bombs. That's Jimmy Carter. Kennedy thought so too. You see, Kennedy wanted a world free of nuclear arms. Kennedy's goal was that eventually there'd not be one nuclear bomb anywhere on this planet. An admirable goal. Kennedy insisted on the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Act and treaty, but Israel refused to sign it. So Kennedy called in David Ben-Gurion and said, you will get rid of your nuclear bombs. You're the only country in the Middle East that has them. You'll get rid of them. I will have no World War III on my watch. They killed him. They preferred to keep their nuclear bombs so they could be the nuclear power of the Middle East. And they killed him. Reagan, they tried to get President Reagan involved in the Middle East. They convinced him, the elite of the Illuminati, the Jewish neocons, to send Marines into Lebanon. And then the Jews, the Israeli Mossad, working with their own terrorist unit, went in and they pretended, they gave out false evidence that it was Arab terrorists there again. It was an Israeli false flag operation. And guess what? 284 Marines were killed in Lebanon in a Marine barracks there. And then they went to Reagan and said, now you've got to send all your troops. And look, they've killed 284 Marines in Lebanon. The Arab terrorists did. Now you've got to fight a war against the Arabs. They've killed almost 300 Americans. You know what Reagan said? No, I'll just pull them out. We shouldn't have been there in the first place. I shouldn't listen to your bad advice. He pulled the troops out of the Middle East. Reagan did. Well, you know what happened to him? They tried to kill him too. They tried to assassinate him. Friends, I'm trying to tell you something. They're planning that if Barack Obama doesn't do what they say, they're going to kill him. I say, let's expose these dirty devils. Let's expose them. Now, I have so much evidence here. I wish I could talk about it all. There's so much here. I read all of these Israeli publications and magazines, and I can tell you, they're worried about Obama. He's saying the right things. He's saying, I'll support Israel. I will support its right to exist. But they're saying, but he was raised in that Muslim school. His pastor had for a friend, Louis Farrakhan, head of the Black Muslims. How can we trust this man, Barack Obama? Maybe he's not fully in our camp. Oh, there's so many. Haaretz.com, an article back in February 18, 2008, said Jewish functionaries are stirring the Clinton-Obama race, and they're obsessively occupied with searching for skeletons in Obama's past. Oh, they're trying to give him the Tanya Harding treatment. Who do you think released all the Dr. Jeremiah Wright information? Fox News. And who owns Fox News? Rupert Murdoch, a Zionist Jew from Australia. Oh, yes. The Jews are trying to smear him. Here's another article from Newsweek by two Jewish writers, Michael Hirsch and Dan Efron. Newsweek, February 23, 2008. Is Obama good for the Jews? That's the only question they ask. They don't ask, is he good for France or Mexico or Canada or Scotland or Ireland or Asia or America? Is he good for the Jews? They decided maybe he's not. Maybe he can't be trusted. Here's another one from YNetNews.com, the Jewish news source. Obama military advisor says U.S. Jews hinder peace. You see, Obama's top military advisor is General Merrill Tony McPeak. And General McPeak says the Jews are the obstacle to peace in the world. He's Obama's military advisor. Don't you think the Jewish Zionist neocon billionaires know that? Pray for Barack Obama. Pray for him. Whether or not you're going to vote for him, pray for him. We don't want anything to happen to the man. The Jews, the Zionists, that is, not all the Jews, but the Zionists, they want him dead. They're not just selling T-shirts. They're not just having their mouthpiece, Hillary Rodham Clinton, put out the word. Inviting, that's what she did. She invited a Manchurian candidate to do the job. But let us pray that our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will protect this man and even put wisdom in his heart and mind. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking about Barack Obama. We've asked the question, will he be assassinated? I'm not saying he's going to be, but there's a danger there. There's a threat, and we need to pray for it, that he'll be safe, and we need to put out the word that if they do it, we know where to point a finger. God bless you, my friends. My prayers, you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.